The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Historically, we've had some awesome matchups, man. There's always AFC North ramifications, and I just respect this rivalry. I think one of the awesome components of this rivalry is the continuity in the organizations, man. I've been on my job a long time. Harbs has been on his job a long time, and I think that adds a texture and history to it.
It's not just the size, it's the shape of the thing.
I know, this is bizarre.
Oh, we're on the air. Real quick, another text. Napoleon's wiener still in circulation, too.
What?
Why are we keeping famous wieners? We're going to have to dive into this at some point, probably off the air, before we get in trouble.
Yes.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. I'm sure they're happy I read that. Butted up alongside the conversation we've been having. And Guardian Protection, of course, your hometown home and business security company. Mike Tomlin talking about John Harbaugh and how long they've both been at the helm. Harbaugh in 2008, Mike Tomlin took over in 2007, and in Harbaugh's first year, Joe Flacco's rookie season, they play three times, Steelers winning all three and one in the AFC Championship game. And I think there are a few things, Dorn, that you need to make a great rivalry. I think you need physicality, and you used to be able to play football a different way.
Yep.
Now, Derrick Henry's going to bring the physicality. Guys like Alandon Roberts are going to bring the physicality. But you used to be able to just leave it all out there on the field. Ryan Clark and Willis McGahee and, my gosh, Ray Lewis and Joey Porter climbing up onto the bus of the Baltimore Ravens. Just awesome stuff. I think you need trash talk, which you get a lot of that crosstalk between these franchises. I think you need stakes, so you need to play high-leverage games, playoff games, games that decide playoff seeding, things of that nature. You need familiarity. You got to play a lot. And then I think for it to be a good rivalry, you need both teams to have success in the game.
Correct.
It can't just be, here's an example, West Virginia-Penn State. It's not a rivalry. One's the bug, one's the windshield. It can't be Steelers-Browns. One's the bug, one's historically the windshield. You got to have some back and forth. All of those things make this a great rivalry. Is there anything I'm missing that you need to stir into the soup that makes a rivalry taste good?
Well, I think you need to have success outside of the rivalry, too, for the rivalry.
Great call.
Like whenever the Ravens won the Super Bowl in 2000, when they won the Super Bowl in 2013, I mean, your brand has to have success to compete with the other brand of the rival, right? Like the Steelers need the brand of the Ravens to be big in order to consider that a true rivalry, because the Steelers brand is huge.
Yes.
So they needed the Ravens to actually win outside of the Steelers Ravens playing twice a year to make it a rivalry. Usually with rivalries, it's somewhat close in proximity, right?
Maybe. Yes, that too. That's a really good one.
Yeah, especially in the NFL, like maybe driving distance.
Yeah, I think clearly that's what makes it great in college athletics.
Yes.
You need to have the proximity.
Yes.
I think about some of the great recent rivalries in the NFL. Seattle and the 49ers,
mm-hmm.
and your West Coast
division
rivals, head coaches that I don't feel like liked each other.
I guess Eagles Cowboys is the anomaly there.
Yeah, and that's strange because you're right. You're not geographically close, but you are in the same division, so you have the familiarity. Thing is, you probably have a lot of Eagles fans out there. They at least travel and are always in Jerry World, and there's Cowboys fans everywhere. So the Cowboys are kind of an exception to the rule because you are always close to their fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're even Cowboys fans here in Western Pennsylvania.
There was a lot whenever they played Sunday night.
That's right. So I do think you're right. That's a good one to bring up. That's part of it. You know, there have been non-divisional rivalries in the NFL. I think Bills-Chiefs is a really good one right now. Colts-Patriots was hot when it was Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. There was familiarity because those teams were always finishing first in the division. So they were always going to play in the regular season. And then they were meeting all the time in the postseason. Those would kind of be the rivalries that I put up there with Steelers-Ravens in recent historical times. Colts-Patriots, I would put the Seattle-49ers one when both of those teams were really good in battling for NFC championships. I think the Steelers, though, when it is at its apex, is better than any of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is more general dislike between the fan bases, and I think that there is more general dislike between the teams, at least there was, than in any of those other rivalries.
Packers Bears, pretty close.
Yes, but that's one of those deals where the Chicago Bears have just sucked.
They don't. It's like one sided.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Aaron Rodgers called them his kid or whatever it was.
Yeah. But yeah. If you're thinking of like the two sided, what you need for the rival of everybody's like basically 50-50. Yeah. Steelers Ravens is up there. Like it is in sports. Really.
It really is.
In sports. So
now I don't believe that any. And you can tell me if I'm wrong on this, and this could be a good conversation this morning at 412-928-9370. I don't think any professional rivalry can rival that of a truly great college rivalry. There's something different to me about a rivalry in college. Ohio State, Michigan. The backyard brawl.
Yeah.
I just think it means more. Because in a lot of ways, especially with a Pitt and a West Virginia, your season can really be defined by that. And it is in the NFL, too. No doubt. We've already gone down memory lane in that. But let's say Pitt this year finishes. Let's just say Pitt and West Virginia finish with the exact same record. Well, one team had a good season. One team had a bad season.
Mm-hmm.
Because the tiebreaker is, what did you do that in the rivalry game?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that with rivals in the NFL, it's usually in division, and you get two shots. You get two shots at your rival. In college, you only get one shot.
Sometimes
that goes away for years, and then it comes back.
Do not miss your chance to blow.
Don't miss
your opportunity comes once in a lifetime.
Yes.
Eminem.
You get one shot, so NFL, you get two. You know, you're going to play the Ravens again after this weekend.
It's why now, upon further review, and we can get into this later in the show, I don't mind that you're playing all these division games in this tight portion of the season. Familiarity breeds contempt, but also you're going to play the Browns two times in three games, which is goofy as hell. And you don't hate the Browns, I don't think, as much as you hate the Ravens, because again, bug windshield. But you play a team twice in three games, you're gonna dislike them.
Yeah.
It's what makes hockey rivalries great, or Yankees Red Sox great. Yankees Red Sox, bang, here's a 4-game series. You're going to meet in the postseason. Bang, here's a 7-game series. Okay, Penguins Capitals. You're going to play them 7 times. 2 games in, everyone's throwing things at their TV because they hate Tom Wilson. Like, the more you play, the better it can be. But also, if you only got one shot,
don't screw
it up.
Don't screw it up. I like the high school rivalries the most, honestly, like personally, because like whenever we played Moon, like we would get up, and it was more than just playing the game. But you also, the thing that's different in high school, and I know we're going all over the place
here. I love it.
But the thing in high school about, like, say, West Allegheny Moon is, like, you know, on the weekend, I'll see them at the mall.
Right.
You know, there's no hiding. There's no going back to your state. There's no going back to your city. There's no, hey, I'll see you next year, and we'll prepare for next year. Like, no, I'm probably going to see them downtown at a Steeler game. You know, all the Moon guys. I'm probably going to see them at Robinson Mall on a Friday night in February.
Great mall.
You know, you can't hide from that, and you know the tension, and it's built up, and you know that you're just a couple miles away.
That's the other thing about the college rivalries, too, is, I mean, we've talked about that game on December 1st, 2007. I mean, A lot of you guys grew up playing against each other.
Yes, that made for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made Pitt West Virginia more than any other game is that I knew about 50% of the players on that team for the West Virginia Mountaineers because they, you know, they went to, you know, Gateway or they went to schools here in the Whippeal and they chose to go there. And then that was a whole added element to the rivalry. It's like, oh, you chose to go to West Virginia.
It's why Mark Bulger always played his best ball in the backyard brawl because he grew up wanting to go to Pitt.
Yep.
And it didn't work out that way. Steelers Ravens AFC Championship 2008 is my fondest memory as a Steelers fan, even above and beyond winning Super Bowls, because not only do you win and there's elation, you're going to the Super Bowl, but you get to twist the knife. And that, to me, was the height of the rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
Because you played them three times. All three games were close. That game was 16-14 when Polamalu had the interception return for a touchdown. That thing was way up there in the balance. It's cold. There's a few Ravens fans there. I remember turning around to a Ravens fan who sat right behind us at the AFC Championship, and he's screaming defense, and I go, defense? You think you play defense? We invented defense. I was so proud of myself. What a friggin' loser. But this familiarity is what Tomlin was talking about, and you talk about it in high school, and in those days, I mean, it was always Ray Lewis. It was always Hines Ward. It was always Suggs. It was always Ed Reed. For a long time, these teams kept their cores together, and you don't always get that. And so you could easily dislike them because year after year, things would happen that would compile on itself, like Ray Lewis breaking Rashard Mendenhall.
Yep.
And the bounty's out on Hines Ward, and it's the same dudes trying to kill your dudes. And so it did kind of feel like a college, like a high school thing, because you played these guys two times and sometimes three times every single year. God, I love this rivalry, and I feel like it's back. We talk about all the elements that you need for there to be a good rivalry, and I think we have done a good job laying that out. Well, it has been one-sided recently, where the Steelers have won the majority of these games. But also, the Ravens have been significantly better as a football team.
Correct, yes.
A lot of the time, Lamar Jackson hasn't played in these games, which I think sucks some of the air out of it. But the Ravens just have been better, and yet you've been winning. I don't feel like the hate has necessarily been there as much in recent times, and I'm wondering where people are on it right now at 412-928-9370. Like, has the hate gone away, and now is it back? How do you feel about the Ravens? Just open-ended question here to start the show at 412-928-9370. When you hear Ravens, what do you think? Do you feel like the rivalry had lost something and now it's back? Did it never go anywhere? I'm just curious how people feel about this at 412-928-9370. And Deontay Johnson's back.
Yeah.
Don't tell Mike Tomlin. I'm not sure he's noticed, but he's back. And you got Patrick Queen. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the other thing.
Sean Elliott.
Oh! Hell of a player, too.
Really good.
Really good player.
Huh?
And you can't forget about Arthur Millett.
Yes.
Oh, jeez. Ultimate Benedict Arnold.
Big time.
Actually, Arthur Millett had something to say about this rivalry. This Benedict Arnold, does he have the key to the Ravens and Lamar Jackson finally figuring out what the Steelers are doing defensively? We'll get into that. We'll take your calls when we come back. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Apparently, John Dillinger's wiener is out there, too.
Jeez, a man.
I know. American gangster during the Great Depression.
Mm.
Yeah. Apparently, they saved his hog.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Texter, for the love of God, will someone please put a new battery in that smoke alarm so it quits chirping? Is that a wrong number?
It's got to be.
Well, then they texted back and said, no, it's the fan. That background chirp on the air is a real pain in the ass. I haven't heard it.
Did you hear it, Cals?
No.
Interesting.
Perhaps it's in your house and you're listening to the fan and you need to go change your smoke alarm battery. Yes. And you should have done it last month. It was Fire Awareness Month.
Correct.
You're supposed to do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of your own house. Don't be bitching at us.
Right.
We would have heard it.
I didn't hear anything.
No. Me neither. I hate that, though.
Me too. Very annoying.
You can't find it.
Mm-hmm.
Walk down to a gas station looking for batteries, very specific kind of batteries. And I walk up to the cashier, and she goes, smoke alarm? I said, yeah.
She goes,
we get people all the time.
All the time.
All the time. Yeah, if we hear that, we will take care of it by destroying it.
I don't think it was us.
I don't think so. Beep. Whoa, what was that? Beep. Beep. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Arthur Mollett has unlocked the key to Lamar Jackson unlocking the Pittsburgh Steelers door. He says he knows what the Steelers are going to do defensively. And why paraphrase when I can look at the quote? He said, so this is what they're trying to do with Lamar. They're going to put a person at the dive, and they're going to run a person straight at Lamar, and they're going to make him make a decision. So that's their game plan. One person goes to Lamar, one person goes to the dive. Oh, God! What are the Steelers going to do? You know, I do think there's something to be said, and we've talked about this on and off the air, about somebody who does know the trade secrets. That's why teams will go out and they'll sign someone off another team's practice squad before playing them. You're trying to gain whatever advantage you can gain. But if the Ravens ain't seen that on tape in the five games that Lamar Jackson has played against the Pittsburgh Steelers, then their coaches need to be fired into the sun. Because guys like me, Doran, know that that's what the Steelers have been doing against Lamar Jackson for years.
I think that they know how people are going to try to stop Lamar Jackson. It's actually just trying to stop him whenever they do. I mean, you're going to know what Lamar Jackson's going to want to do. He has added an element to his game with, you know, the pocket passing. And he's gotten a lot better at that. But The whole run game and Lamar Jackson's legs, like, everybody knows what they want to do. It's what they can't do whenever the time does come, whenever he gets the ball.
I'm so happy you said it that way. And I do think we're going to have a longer, more substantial Lamar Jackson conversation later on in the show. But for the longest time, in the infancy of his career, it's, have teams figured out Lamar Jackson? You might know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
He's the best athlete on every single football field he takes. And so, you know he's going to run a read option. Or you know you're going to spy him. Keep eyes on the quarterback. You know what he wants to do. Of course you do. People are smart. Coaches are smart. You got game film. But when you get that guy one-on-one in open space, I don't care if you know what he's going to do. Do I know LeBron James is going to take the ball to the rack? Yeah.
Stop him.
You can't because he's a moose.
Right.
Is Steph Curry going to shoot 12 threes a game? Yeah. You maybe want to get a hand in his face. You maybe want to go over screens on that guy. Sure you do. What's it matter? You know. Of course you know. Of course you've scouted. The best you are going to get a book on, but they're still going to be able to execute.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's no different than, Tom Brady's, you know where he's going to be. He could be three steps, five steps, seven steps. Not really going to vary from that spot. Go hit him. Oh, okay. He gets the ball out faster. He's smarter than you. Peyton Manning, he's smarter than you. Dan Marino, quick release. The great ones, okay, you might get a book. That's what makes them great.
Correct.
Texter, I think that dude was on drugs. I don't hear anything. I haven't heard anything either.
Beep. Not one thing.
I haven't heard of one. Beep. Not one. Beep. 412-928-9370. Don't punch me.
I'm not.
Because that's not me. That's the smoke alarm in the background. Beep. Yep. Is this rivalry bigger than a backyard brawl? We got basketball coming up
in a
couple of days.
Yeah, because we get it every year.
Twice. It's more of a national rivalry.
Yeah.
Because here's how I've always argued this about rivalries. And I've done so with a good friend of mine who's a massive Ohio State fan. And he's like, Ohio State, Michigan is a significantly better rivalry than the backyard brawl. There's no way that you can tell me that the most fervent Ohio State fans, the most fervent Michigan fans, hate each other more than the most fervent Pitt and West Virginia fans. They don't hate each other more.
No.
And by the way, this is all within the context of sports hate. Don't beat someone up for the jersey they're wearing. Just FYI. They don't hate each other more, but they're playing every year basically for Big Ten championships, national championships. It is a much bigger national rivalry. Red Sox-Yankees playing for going to the World Series. It's a big national rivalry. Like Colts-Patriots, a rivalry that the nation views as a big-time one because of the stakes. But you can't tell me that Steelers fans and Ravens fans hate each other more than Pitt and West Virginia fans. Like, I just don't buy that the hatred is more, I guess is what I'm saying.
I think there was a time, not now. I think back whenever we were, back in our days, back in like the 2008s and maybe the 2000s, yeah, maybe it was probably equal, which is crazy to say, but I bet you it was equal. I mean, just how intense that those games were, and like you said earlier, how physical those games were, and knowing that, you know, Ray Lewis, nobody likes Ray Lewis, nobody liked Ed Reed, nobody liked Terrell Suggs, nobody liked Hines Ward, because, you know, he was getting out there and he was blindsiding guys. Like, I would say, yeah, maybe a little bit more than the backyard brawl in the 2000s, and that was probably the height of each rivalry.
I think it's hard to recreate, emulate the college rivalry hatred in the NFL, but if ever we've seen it, it is that Steelers-Ravens. Yeah. You're right about that. Because you see, you're negative recruiting against your rivals in college, and you're saying bad things, and you're taught to hate those teams, and it's a generational deal, and you don't really know until you get into the first one, but the coaches do such a good job. Narduzzi's done such a good job, and even Neil Brown has done a good job of making them embrace it and going back and looking at some of the historical things. In the NFL, I don't think it's like that, but with Steelers-Ravens, it was. And maybe now it is. I just want to know if Steelers fans feel like it lost something these last 4 or 5 years. And if so, if it's back at 412-928-9370. Because to me, it feels bigger now. This game coming up on Sunday is the most anticipated Steelers-Ravens game since maybe the Immaculate Extension game with Antonio Brown that decided the division way back when.
I think the game is bigger now, for sure. But this is going to go into exactly a discussion that you had maybe a couple months ago of why that the rivalry doesn't feel like it used to feel is because of players. Players don't hate and have that feeling anymore. Players are having guys on their podcast during the season that are from different teams. Players are swapping jerseys, as you said, a couple months ago, and you hate that after games. Like, that's why. Could you imagine Ray Lewis and Hines Ward swapping jerseys and taking pictures and going on each other's podcasts after games? No.
Not in a million years.
That's why it's different.
That's a great point.
It'll never come back to what we once knew. Anything. I'm not even just Steelers, Ravens. I'm talking about anything in the NFL of, like, hatred-wise. You'll never get that anymore because of the culture of the modern-day athlete.
Well said. And I think you've nailed that. And so the fans may right now feel like I do, like it's back and this is highly anticipated. And I have Ravens sports hate flowing through my veins today. But I think T.J. Watt respects Lamar Jackson.
It does. Who does T.J. Watt want to decleat?
Right.
Nobody.
Meanwhile, Terrell Suggs would sack Ben Roethlisberger and stand over him drooling on his face.
Exactly. Exactly.
Bart Scott coming off the edge.
Yes.
In the hit that Ben said was the hardest he's ever taken in his career. Like, Ben was easy for them to hate because Ben was this old school, hard-nosed football player first, quarterback second. And then you had Joe Flacco, who at times against the Steelers was Mr. Clutch. And so there was this perceived toughness with him. Even the quarterbacks fit the archetype of, oh, that guy's a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so that played into it. Can you imagine, like, Minka Fitzpatrick getting on the Ravens team bus trying to fight everybody the way Joey Porter did?
No.
That was awesome. You ain't ever going to see that kind of stuff again.
No. No, and I think that, you know, there's two different sides to it, right? Like, there's the fan side of that we're talking about, the rivalry, really more than the players. But I feel like the players kind of filter through the fans. And if the fans see, like, you know, Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson swapping jerseys after the game, it's like, huh, yeah, it's just, you know, it's not what it once was.
You know what I want? What we used to get? I want the teams to meet at the 50.
Yeah, you're not going to get that.
Uh-uh.
Ever again.
I love that.
You'll get that in college, though.
Yes, you will. And you'll get teams planting flags. I mean, that you're right about fighting in the tunnel. Michigan and Michigan State a couple of years ago where there were charges filed. Mm-hmm. Like, there are attorneys. Dudes are fighting in the tunnel. They meet at the 50. I mean, you even had that Steelers-Browns back in the day. I forget the running back's name. Amon Green, maybe it was. And Joey Porter. And Joey gets tossed even before the game because they're getting into it at the 50-yard line. Yeah. And that's when James Harrison slammed the fan on the field. You're right. Because of the rules of football and because of the makeup of today's athletes, the fans could still feel the way that they've always felt against the Raven. But the teams, that you will never get that kind of percolating hatred ever again. Ever again. I mean, you literally, this isn't even hyperbole. You had guys out there legitimately trying to hurt each other.
Yeah.
Not even hurt, injure each other. All right, your thoughts on Steelers-Ravens. Beep. 412-928-9370. That's 412-BEEP. 412-928-9370. Coming up next, Mike Tomlin's comments on Deontay Johnson.
What will it be like for you to face Deontay, and what challenge does he present for you guys?
To be honest with you, I hadn't thought a lot about it. He's not on a lot of their video, and so, you know, at this stage of the week, I don't know that I've weighed what he might mean to the matchup. They got more significant pieces with larger roles that are occupying my attention at this part of the week.
All right, how did you hear that? You think he's just telling the truth? Two games from Deontay, one catch, 6 yards. Not on a lot of the tape. They do have clearly more significant pieces, or do you think that's a shot at Deontay?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
A little bit of both. But I do think that there's a lot of truth to that. But there's truth that, I mean, he giggled whenever he first, you know, he was like, well, he's not on, I mean, whenever he is on the tape, he's falling down or not running out of bounds, and that's about it. Like, I mean, he basically, Mike Tomlin told us that we are not scared of Deontay. We have a lot bigger fish to fry.
Yes.
Like Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, Rashad Bateman. I mean, there's how many guys right there, you know, Justice Hill. There's a lot, how many guys right there before Deontay Johnson?
6 or 7.
We ain't worried about Deontay Johnson beating us.
We had Jason LaConfora on yesterday. He hosted an afternoon show in Baltimore. And boy, his tone changed when talking about Deontay. Like, they are nonplussed with his contribution so far. And this just lends even more credence to the theory that I first heard you throw out there, Doran, when Deontay was traded to Carolina, of all places, basically hanging out with Rasputin in Siberia. That was a Tomlin decision.
Yep.
Can't win with this guy. Don't like this guy. Send him to the worst place you could possibly think of in the NFL. And I'm not sure Deontay is going to have a big impact on this matchup. He's still getting his feet wet there. But I probably would have been a little bit more diplomatic if I were Tomlin. I don't know that Deontay is the kind of guy who rises to the occasion. In fact, a lot of the times in his Steelers career, he's kind of gone the opposite way. Pun intended. You know, he'd get the first down, run backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when he wasn't named the Pro Bowl, and then he fumbled a couple of times against the Chiefs. He wanted to go out there and prove so badly that he was a Pro Bowl guy, and then had maybe one of the worst games, if not the worst game, of his season. I don't know that I'd poked the bear. I don't know that I would have said it the way Tomlin said it. I probably would have said the beginning portion and then said, but we know what Deontay is capable of, and left it at that.
Maybe he just doesn't. I mean, he doesn't think of Deontay being a threat at all. Like, I mean, but I know one thing. Whenever situations like this happen, usually teams, and you're going against a former player's team, they will try to get him the ball. Like, not a lot. Clearly, they have other guys to get the ball, but he will be in the game and he will be targeted. So that happens all the time.
Yes.
With players and former teams. I think that Mike Tomlin is like, listen, Deontay is a non-factor. Like, we're not even thinking about it. We don't care.
Mike Tomlin said later on in the press conference there'd be some zigging and zagging by both teams because they know each other so well. And we had already talked about a potential wrinkle from the Steelers being, get Justin Fields in there a little bit. I could see that being Baltimore's cutesy side of things. Mm-hmm. Hey, we haven't really thrown the ball to Deontay. We like him. That's why we traded for him. This is his old stomping grounds. Let's twist the knife and let's do something maybe the Steelers aren't really preparing for. Let's get Deontay the ball. Yeah, I could buy that.
Especially in the red zone. Whenever they enter the red zone, they get closer and closer to the goal line. You'll see Deontay Johnson running probably like a double move or something. They're going to try to throw him a touchdown. It's going to happen. I mean, you could put money on it right now. That's going to happen.
Against Dante Jackson, perhaps.
Yes.
The man he was traded for.
Or Deshaun Elliott.
The man who used to be a Raven.
Or Patrick Queen?
Yes. A far cry from Rod Woodson switching sides. We were looking this up during the break. Rod Woodson played 134 games as a Steeler, which sounded right. I couldn't believe he played 64 games with the Ravens.
Yeah. What?
That hurt.
Uh-huh.
That hurt. That was back when they were wearing them stupid gold pants, too. What a crime against uniforms. Yeah. Ryan Mallett once beat the Steelers wearing gold pants.
That's right.
And it kept the Steelers out of the playoffs until it didn't. Like, the Steelers needed to go beat a team that finished 5-11, and it would have guaranteed them a playoff spot. Ryan Mallett beat them, and then the next week they got some help winning a game, and then the Bills and Jets played a game that would decide the Steelers' fate, and the Steelers wound up sliding into the playoffs. How does that happen?
Crazy.
I'll tell you how. Throw the records out. Rivalry, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Rivalry. Doesn't matter who's playing. You throw them records out. We'll get into Lamar Jackson coming up at 7 o'clock because I think he's undervalued around here. I know he hasn't played well against the Steelers. I'm going to ask you some questions about Lamar Jackson, Dorn,
uh-huh,
and how he might compare to some of his contemporaries around the NFL. I feel like this is a pro Lamar Jackson show.
It's a respect Lamar Jackson,
yes,
show. Yes.
Yes.
I have a lot of respect for him.
I think he's eventually just going to have a great game against the Steelers. He's too good not to. I think he's probably going to win a Super Bowl. I think he's too great not to. But more on Lamar Jackson later. We'll take some of your phone calls coming up next at 412-928-9370. And my, oh my, the Penguins, they hit rock bottom, and now they're acting like it. We'll tell you about that when we come back, too. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills in 10 minutes. Mike Tomlin really likes Lamar Jackson. Do we like him as much as the Steelers coach? We'll get into it. Penguins made a trade. I think they're waving the white flag, Dorn.
Think so?
I think they're a little tanky-tanky right now. I think they were going to wait 15, 20 games, see where the team was, and then decide on if they were going to not necessarily go for it this year, but stand pat. And, I mean, they're one of the worst teams in the NHL. Taylor Haas of DKPittsburghSports.com reported that she talked to a league source that said Kyle Dubas has said everybody but 87 is available.
Hmm.
So I wonder if that means Erik Karlsson has waived a no-trade clause, Brian Rust has waived a no-trade clause, Ricard Raquel has waived a no-trade clause, Chris Letang has waived a no-trade clause, or if they could be had if they waive the no-trade clauses. I don't know if those discussions have happened. I think I'm okay with them just tearing it down. Like, they've kind of been one foot in, one foot out for a while now, and why not just dive in the deep end of the pool and get this thing going on the up and up?
Do you think you have that discussion with Sidney Crosby whenever he was going to sign his extension? Or you think he was just left in the dark? Well, he's not stupid. He probably knows what was the situation was probably going to be. But I just can't see somebody like Sidney Crosby, who's still playing at a high level, to want to be a part of this right now and not go somewhere and try to win a championship again. I just can't. In my mind, I just can't see him being like, yeah, I'll be a part of the bad times, the dark times.
Hypothesis, easy for me to say. My guess is you're right that the reason that it took so long for Sid is he probably wanted to see that they'd be somewhat competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he has the belief, and he stated so much last year, that if you get in, you've got a chance. So is the team good enough merely to get in? And I think he was hoping that they would do that for him. And I do think the roster is a lot better than the way that they've played. I don't know that it's a good roster, but it should be on the periphery of playoff contention. But now that you see that it's not, there are two options. You either fire the coach and see if you can turn it around, or you start selling off assets, and they're selling off assets. Lars Eller gets shipped out for a 2027 third-round pick and a 2025 first-round pick. Fifth-round pick. The Penguins have a first-round pick in this upcoming draft, no second-round pick, three-thirds. They have a first, 2 seconds, two-thirds coming up in 2026, and they have a first, 2 seconds, two-thirds, two-fourths coming up in 2027. So they're doing it. They're doing the thing now.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I don't know that it's the worst thing in the world. In fact, it might be the best possible thing for them if they get a top-five pick and potentially can win that draft lottery.
Yeah. It's a shame.
It is a shame.
It really is.
Some of these things fizzle out, or in fact, not some of them. They always fizzle out organically. Every dynasty, like the Romans, will end. It just happens. It happened with Chicago, it happened with LA, and now it's happening with Pittsburgh. The thing that sticks in my craw is that, okay, the last 2 years they didn't make the playoffs. Prior to that, after 2018, they were making it every year, and they had teams that were better than where they wound up bowing out in the playoffs. And that, to me, is the missed opportunity.
Mm.
Jim Rutherford failed at the end. Ron Hextall was an unmitigated disaster. And then I do think Dubas obviously took a shot last season by acquiring Carlson, getting rid of all the bad contracts, thinking let's maybe take one more shot at this, and they all failed. It's not that it's ended. It's that it's ended the way that it has.
Yeah.
That is frustrating to me. But here we are. Goodbye, Lars Eller. We hardly knew
you.
Ye.
Ye.
Is it a ye or a ye. You? We hardly knew you. Ye.
Ye.
He did score the game-winning cup-clinching goal for the Washington Capitals. So good for him. I like Lars Eller, the player. Heard he was a good guy. I think he's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the point?
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see other guys get shipped out of here, too. Even if the big dogs don't get moved, the top dogs, top dog law, even if they don't get shipped out, Doran, I do think you're going to see a bunch of other guys get moved.
Yeah, at this point, for sure.
And it's time.
That's a shame. It really is.
RIP Penguins Dynasty 2007 through 2022.
Yep.
All right, coming up next, Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP. Potentially three-time MVP when this season wraps up. How does Mike Tomlin feel about him? How do we feel about him? How do you feel about him? 412-928-9370. But first, fan weather brought to you by Sutton Chevrolet. It's here. The Chevy Red Tag event now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.